Open the House Meeting on Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities. Today's Thursday, March 19, 2009. We have a lot of friends here to talk about agriculture and food and Oregon sourcing of food. But before we do that, we've got a couple little committee items that we need to get through. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2211. This was carried over from Tuesday, March 17th. We didn't have a revenue impact statement at the time, and now we do. And there's no revenue impact. And so I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, cool.
Where, Mr. Vice Chair?
Are the dash ones in?
Yes.
Vice Chair. Okay, yes. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt House Bill 2211, dated 2-16-09.
Representative Krieger moves to adopt House Bill 2211, the amendment 2211-1, dated 2-16-09. Is there any discussion? No discussion. Is there objection? No objection. If not, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2211, as amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Then Krieger moves House Bill 2211 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Meyer.
Aye.
Representative Winger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orme.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Shaw.
Aye.
Representative Gilley.
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Excused.
Chair Clinton?
Aye. House Bill 2211 passes, or motion passes.
Am I going to the consent calendar?
Yeah, any objection to the consent calendar for that one? If not, we will place it on the consent calendar. So I'm looking, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2082. And 2082, just for members' information, we had some clarification that was needed after a hearing back in February, and some time has lapsed to allow members an opportunity. I think there's been some visits, and I think we're in pretty good shape, but entertain a motion and find out.
We have, Mr. Chair, we have two sets of amendments.
So, do we have a dash 2 that we're moving and not a dash 1?
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah, so the dash 2s are all that we're really
interested in.
And we discussed those, as I recall.
Yeah, I think so, too. I know we have lots of things that we've discussed, so I believe that's accurate. And we can discuss them further if we need to. I bet a motion on those would be helpful to get us started.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2082.
Representative Krieger moves the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2082. Discussion. No discussion. Is there any objection to the adopting the amendments? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2082 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2082 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative Winger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orme.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Shaw.
Aye.
Representative
Gilley.
Aye.
Representative Roblin.
Excuse.
Chair Clinton.
Aye. House Bill 2082, the motion passes. Bill is sent to the floor as amended. Again, any objections to the consent calendar?
This one is weird. It's kind of a significant bill. Somebody ought to explain it on the floor.
Guess who that somebody just became?
What do you think about it?
All right. Any other volunteers?
I'll do it.
All right, Vice Chair Krieger.
So long as he doesn't ask a question on the floor.
You got free speech.
You'll get
rights.
No guarantees.
Okay. So, I don't. Hold on, is my staff here? No. So, it's an odd request, but I'm about to signal my staff to come down. It's his birthday. And so I'm going to be testifying on the next bill, and I'm just going to say I need something or other. And when he gets here, if I just break into a round of singing, please don't leave me hanging. That's all I'm saying.
And so, is he watching you now? By the way, it's my daughter and staff person's birthday today.
Do you want to get...
And Vicky Burger's birthday.
She's not here yet.
Not here yet. Yeah.
He's watching.
What's Vicky's birthday today?
He doesn't watch the hearing. No. He doesn't apparently know or care what I do. She's great.
Finally hit
39.
But he got a raise.
She finally hit
39.
Yeah, that's right.
No, didn't get one of those either. Which caucus? So I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2763. And I am going to go down there. Do we have our witness list?
Yes.
We'll check.
Just want to get... my poor vice chair here, prep for who would be coming after
me.
Oh,
thank you.
I had no trouble picking up. Only I get to send.
How many questions do you want on this bill?
Can you save them for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, either farmers, eaters, or representatives, or farmers, or eaters?
This is one of those bills they want us to talk and maybe not pass the bill because they talk?
No, we like questions on this bill. It's a good
right.
bill. But we do have to, we are going to adjourn actually at 9 today, so
okay.
relatively limited.
Are you going down there right now?
I'm going to walk over there.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're still, I just wanted to make sure.
I was going
to
say
something.
No, I'm sitting down there. Maybe I should take the bill.
If you're smart, you'll take the gavel.
That's a good idea, actually.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Don't leave that over there. That lady will grab that.
Representative Clem.
Well, welcome. I mean, hi.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. So for the record, Madam Chair, I'm Brian Clem, a state representative from House District 21, which is here in Central and East Salem, and I am pleased to come before you to talk about House Bill 2763. Just to explain how this bill came about, received an email one day from a witness who's going to be up here shortly, and she works with Multnomah County, and Multnomah County was interested, as I think a lot of our counties and local governments are interested, in really trying to support Oregon agriculture by purchasing food for some of their programs where they do feed people from Oregon growers. And so they were designing kind of a bid and a program to be able to buy Oregon. And then they found that that would be illegal under state law to buy Oregon and put that in their bids. So they wrote me an email saying there's this statute, and the statute is preventing us with our own money from giving an Oregon preference. And as many of you know, I think maybe all of you that I asked, and if I didn't ask, I apologize, are co-sponsors of the bill, and I explained it. But it's... we have yet to actually find why this was placed in the law, why it's illegal. I'm not sure if it was an anti-corruption tactic at one point or if it's just sort of the whole, let's just do low bid, even if it's, you know, it's the county's general fund or other funds. It's their funds. And so I'm not sure what the state's interest is telling them, you know, what to do on that front. Now, the way the bill's structured, we're going to need to amend a little bit. Happy birthday, dear Naughty, to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Dan.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Hey, where's my bill file? Oh, just...
Happy birthday.
I'm in a lot of trouble, folks.
We're going to find your bill file now, Mr. Chairman.
My calendar is going to be like, drive to Ontario, say hi to your aunt, come back. House Bill 2763 is going to need an amendment, particularly lines 12 and 13, which talk about the Director of Agriculture by rule setting some standards. And really the issue for me here is that these local governments want to be able to support our agriculture industry by giving a preference in their bidding. And the Director of Agriculture, I've chatted with them, and they don't need to be involved. These agencies can set up their own rule for what buying Oregon means with their own money. So I intend to ask for an amendment that would take that part out. And then the one thing we did put in the bill, just to make sure that if something did get out of whack on price, that the contracting agency, if the bid is more than 5% higher than the low bid, the contracting agency needs to make a written determination that says, yes, we can go over, just so there's a paper trail, so we know. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that I won't get into. I brought some reports about the multiplier effect and how buying locally produces $2 or $3 or $4 in additional value than not. And so even if it were 5% higher, that dollar staying in the economy is going to be more valuable to that economy than exporting it to another country, for example, and being spent, you know, in Bangladesh or wherever. So that's sort of where I would leave it for now. We've got a bunch of folks here to talk about it. I'd be happy to answer any questions. But the fundamental issue is, can we not withstand the law that's stopping some of these local governments from buying Oregon when they want to?
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, Mr. Chair, we this issue is not anything new. We had it with license plates a few years ago. We currently have another where our Oregon revised statute's being printed somewhere else after our Oregon contractor lost the contract. There is certain folks that would put certain environmental standards on how we build things in this state that would exclude Oregon wood fiber products, which I'll never support that. You know what? I'm supporting this wholeheartedly, however you amend it. I agree with you totally and completely, but to be quite frank with you, if it was Mike's world, I would amend it just to say preference to products produced and transported entirely in the state of Oregon. But I'm not suggesting we do that. But that's what I would do. I think this is a great idea, and I completely support it. Thank you for bringing it here.
Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a broader bill on other topics that I'll run past folks, too, that kind of deal with other things, and, you know, desks, license plates, you know, because you're right. We had to get it back by executive order, I think, the license plates. I forget where it got shipped to, but it was a company in Southeast Portland, and I moved out in the uproar, and the hue and cry got it brought back. But, you know, our statutes aren't set up correctly, in my opinion.
Are there any other questions? Representative Beyer.
Yes. And I'm looking at this, and maybe you said it, and I was distracted. So
was it my singing?
Yeah. No. public use. So, in your mind, what does that include?
So, you know, this is a specific thing to agricultural products, and so public use would be. And I'll let Multnomah County talk about this too, what they intend. But in general, it would be things like if someone ran a soup kitchen, if someone fed inmates at the prisons or jails. One of the growers that's not here today, he was telling me about the ability he once had to sell some pears to the prison down the road. And then Department of Corrections, through a variety of policy changes, made it so if you can't bid the entire menu of fruits and vegetables for every institution in the entire state, you can't bid at all. So he was out. And, you know, it was a mile down the road. And it was a helpful part to get those pears in for a low cost to the prisons and for him to be able to get rid of them quickly and easily. So prisons, jails, I think in Multnomah County, there's a refugee center, they may have food. There's maybe some senior programs where there's food. So it's when agencies are providing food to the public are kind of what we're going for here.
Okay. So I'm assuming, Madam Chair, thank you. Sorry.
Yes, that's all.
My father had been in assisted living for an extended period of time, and it used to drive him nuts that they wouldn't get local corn for them at this facility, and they couldn't. You know, he kept asking, but they couldn't by law. So I don't know if that's outside of this. Is this federal? I mean, I'm not really sure, and maybe somebody else might have an idea, but...
Yeah, what we're doing here is using the term contracting agency, so I think it would really matter if they're a contracting agency, and then it's a may, so if a nursing home was a contracting agency, and we can get some more clarification on that, they also may not, which, you know, some of us would like to say, you know, you shall, but this bill is about may. I do have another bill about shall, and we'll chat about that at some point. So I think that's kind of the definitional question.
Thank you.
Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One more question, Mr. Representative, and if you don't have the answer, you can get back to me later, but does this definition cover gravel?
Agriculture?
Get back to me on that.
Produce?
Yeah, thank you. Let me do a little research.
I think Bruce Chapin probably wants to talk about that one.
Moving right along, I have two.
Oh.
Yes, please. So my interpretation of public is when you're using public money. Is that a fair assessment? If you use public money to purchase these things? Or are you saying that public means anything we have to do, anybody has to do with the public?
Well, our intent would be, let's say it's a contracting agency, and they received a private donation. For example, this is actually going on right now. Jervis School District and Portland Public School District have received a private donation, and they are funding a subsidy to the school lunch program to be able to have them buy local.
Okay.
So even if it were private money to a contracting agency, and then the use is to members of the public, so school children in this case.
And then my second question, does Oregon law specifically say that you can only accept a low bid? It doesn't give you the flexibility of option?
So what happens now is... Representative Boquist sent out former Representative Boquist, Senator Boquist, sent out an email to a lot of us, and he cites the way the statute is set up.
Okay.
And it says that there are some provisions for giving a preference, and it's a may, and it applies, I believe, to largely state agencies, and his quote is, it's routinely ignored. So this is a way that will allow local governments a greater flexibility than the current statute offers that you can hear from one in a moment that they actually will be able to use. Because we do have a section in 279A120, Preference for Oregon Goods, and I'm taking Senator Boquist, who's a pretty sharp guy, that it just isn't effective and it's not used.
Thank you. Representative Shoffler.
Chair, I can't help myself as usual. I support efficiency. I think we need to be efficient with the resources we're handed to work with and deliver the services that we're obligated and that people demand in this state. But I think, and that's a good philosophy, I think in the statute and some of our direction to agencies and districts, whether it's school district or fire district, what we've done is we've forced them into looking at this bottom line here without examining the impact that has on the entire community, and because there's a multiplier effect that goes along with these decisions that in the end, the real bottom line, you get more back than that relative to the little more you may spend on that initial cost.
Okay.
And that's, I think, and if you got kids going to a school, well, what better food to feed them than the very food that their parents are growing out in their field right in that community? It just doesn't make any sense. But we go down the ledger sheet and we get stuck right there, and people are forced into making bad decisions. And this would allow them to look at a broader picture to the benefit of not just their children but the whole state, and I might add, our revenue sources here in the state of Oregon that allow us to provide all those services that people demand and need.
Representative Shoffler is actually correct. Our fiscal analysis or revenue impact process does not calculate the difference between expenditures by the state made on an Oregon company or an out-of-state company. It just doesn't count in the tax revenues that would, the additional tax revenues that would come in. There's a study in Maine that says 44.6% of the revenue from a locally owned enterprise would stay in the surrounding two counties, another 8% elsewhere in Maine. So that's about 52% in Maine, whereas 14% would stay if it were spent with an out-of-state entity who was doing business. And again, that's just not calculated. It's not the agency's fault. It's just the way our revenue process is done. It's not calculated to take that into consideration. I mean, and obviously, I mean, there's all kinds of other issues about the fact that, you know, some companies, their own tax dollars are being used to compete against them and help a foreign company. And that drives them crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll have a farm-to-school bill in a couple weeks here that we'll talk a little bit more about some studies that have been done this year with real farmers and real schools within 20 miles of this building and what it's meaning for those farmers to be able to get that, and then see if we can convince our Ways and Means colleagues to assist us in helping with the program. It's tight times, but it's pretty good economic development, too.
Are there any other questions? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you. Madam Chair, how big of a slate do we have for this testimony?
We have six people, so we probably better.
Yeah, let's get
quick.
Yeah.
Thank you. I
have no questions. Yes. Yep. Representative Winder.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative, or Chair Clem, for this bill. Just a couple of questions. Any chance that this rule came about in some relation to the Commerce Clause of the United States?
So the my consultations with the Attorney General himself actually on this one is if government is acting as the purchaser of goods, then they do not have any kind of problems with the Commerce Clause on preferencing how they choose. If government tried to regulate private behavior, private companies, private consumers, but when we're the buyer, we can put the standards we want on our products.
Okay, one other question?
Yes.
On the subsection 2 of section 2, do you have any idea at this point what kind of a fiscal impact that would be on the Department of Ag to have to have a whole regime to do this kind of...
The amendments will delete that, and then it will have no fiscal impact, I'm told, by the agency.
Oh, well, if it's deleted, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that helps.
Okay. All right, the only other concern that I was concerned about the price differential, and you have the 5% in here, which I like, but then the last sentence essentially voids the 5% differential by allowing the contracting agency to just go past that. So I guess I'm wondering if you have any concern about a political decision being made by a government to buy local, even though that comes at a significant cost. I mean, it may come at a significant cost to the taxpayer. And who's really making that decision, and for what reason?
Right. So, for example, if Multnomah County decided to do it, I felt it was important not just to rely on the elections of their county commissioners to hold that in check, but also there has to be a paper trail in writing that says we make a determination that this needs to go over 5%. And then if that's there, I think we and the media and the voters can say why. Because there's a paper trail that says, yeah, we know it's over 5%, and there's a reason we're going to make a written determination that the public could read. So I'm not excessively worried about it. I mean, if it did get out of whack, and I'd go find the paper and say, wow, 38% for your brother, I mean, what's that? But I think as long as you got a paper trail, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Thank you. I would like to comment on that because I have been one who's been putting things out to bid, and the regulator really is the potential of being sued for not following the rules. And so when you do that, you need to be very careful that what you have done, you can justify on the paper trail that you have done so. And so that really is the regulator, at least from my perspective. That's what kept me conscious. Are there any other questions? Thank you, Representative Clinton. Why don't we have Kat West, Dan Goffin, and Mickey Killingsworth come forward, please?
Until this is over, if you just stay there.
If I could just stay there. Dan and I are going out for this 21er.
Okay, I've called this three.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
see if we get there. Well, I'm only if we get there. I guess we missed this. A lot of folks here from all over the place.
No thorns.
100 miles. Yes. We have 100 miler, but Mickey, is it okay if I have the original idea person for why we needed this bill?
Yes,
so welcome, Kat.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Clem. Good morning, committee members. For the record, my name is Kat West, and I am the sustainability manager for Multnomah County, and I am also the proud daughter of a Tennessee farmer. Let me begin by thanking the sponsors of House Bill 2763 and thanking the committee for the opportunity to speak in support of the bill this morning. I am here today because Multnomah County wants to support Oregon farmers, and current state law prevents us from doing that. I'm here today because Multnomah County knows that our dollar choices really shape the very community that we live in, and it is important for Multnomah County to invest in our family farmers, to invest in our local economy, and to invest in local jobs. I'm here because Multnomah County also knows that current law says that Multnomah County can't prefer Oregon-grown food if that food costs not $100 more, not a dollar more, but if Oregon food costs a penny more than food grown outside of Oregon, Multnomah County cannot support Oregon farmers. So in other words, and this is to answer your question, Vice Chair, that if a box of Oregon apples costs one penny more than a box of apples from New Zealand, Multnomah County cannot buy that box of apples from Oregon. We cannot support an Oregon farmer. We have to support a New Zealand farmer. Multnomah County spends over $2 million every year of taxpayer money feeding the inmates in our jails. And we want to spend that money in Oregon, supporting the local economy and supporting local jobs. And it's not just the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners that wants to spend the money locally, but Multnomah County constituents have also spoken loudly. Recently, they identified a local food system, a strong local food system, as one of their top community priorities. And Multnomah County is very enthused to work with stakeholders on this bill. Multnomah County supports House Bill 2763 because it allows contracting agencies the discretion to do the right thing, to support local farmers, to support their local economy, and to support local jobs. Thank you.
Questions for Kat? You can see why I didn't have, I had a hard time arguing back why I should introduce the bill.
Yeah.
And all of you, except for, I apologize to Representative Wingert, I couldn't find you on the floor the day I was doing this, so I will get you a co-sponsorship sheet if you're interested, because you're the only person I didn't get to on this one on the committee.
Representative Snow, I mean Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. West, why do you hate New Zealand?
Yeah. Both of you, I forgot. I'm sorry.
I actually really want to go to New Zealand.
Yeah. I did that for my colleague.
Well, I think you wowed us, Kat. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Representing pear farmers, I want us to buy Hood River pears.
I'm not going to comment on that. The class is large, and I have a potential conflict of interest. Yeah. I don't even have to declare it so large. Mickey Killingsworth, you're from more than 100 miles away. I think we've met before.
Yes, Representative Clem. Dear Chairman Clem and committee members, I'm Mickey Killingsworth, 798 Southeast Dover Lane, Madras, Oregon, for the record. I'm a shepherd, and I'm in the middle of harvest, so if my eyes are bloodshot, it's not because I'm having a good time. It's because hours are short and days are long, and I came for the Ag Summit today that you guys are hosting us, and I want to thank you. I'm in support of House Bill 2763. I see this bill as a companion bill, the next step after a farm-to-school program. Oregon's agriculture needs this type of market availability to help shore up prices for local commodities. This bill also provides for quality, locally grown products to be made available to Oregon's government institutions without always being the low bidder. I want to applaud the sponsors of this bill for looking at agriculture in a holistic picture. Not only do we need a strong land use system that provides an agriculture land base so we as farmers and ranchers can raise food for consumers, but we also need an expanded market for Oregon's agriculture commodities, and starting at home is a good place to be in today's economic climate. which I think supports what Representative Schaffler said earlier. And I think it's key. I think this is a good step, looking at the whole picture.
Questions for Mickey? Dan.
Good morning, Chair Clem and committee members. Thank you, for Chair, for introducing this bill. It is very important to our agricultural communities that we have this...
Dan, just state your name for the record.
Oh, Dan Goffin, President of Marion County Farm Bureau. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
You've heard me enough. You probably don't need that, but the record needs it.
For the public, yeah.
But anyway, this is a very integral part of our process of being able to survive on the farm. Representative Clem testified that John...
Zelensky.
I want brain dead. John Zelensky, he's also our Vice President of Marion County Farm Bureau. Right now, we would like to have him here to testify on it, but he's back in Washington, D.C. doing some legwork with our congressional members back there.
Wow.
So he's in a good place doing good work for us.
He was in Disneyland last week with his kids, by the way.
Well, no wonder I can't get a hold of him.
Exactly, yeah.
He just told you.
Yeah, but anyway,
now
John...
Now he's at the other Disneyland, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. John had been, of Easy Orchard, had been providing fruit to the institutions here, and then he got bumped out of the system. That is one of the places that he can get rid of his produce when the market goes slow or whatever, because many times we produce sometimes more than we can sell locally or what the... But it gives... You hate dumping something, and that's what a lot of times you end up doing. They end up dumping it, and that's a waste of product, and where we can do it locally. Yesterday's paper, the day before, another mill closes. The economy right now, because whatever you want to blame it on, is slow. Agriculture, us farmers, whether we're shepherds, we raise row crops, green beans, corn, grass seed, wheat, livestock was my main thing. We do not close our doors when the economy gets bad. We do not hang a padlock on it. I can't shut a switch off of my cows and not have to feed them. The dairymen can't flip a switch and not milk their cows. We have to keep going. We keep producing no matter what the economy. There is no industry in the state, this nation, that does that. If things get tough, we figure out how to work around it. And this bill here will give us another option to look for ways of keeping our money local. And what Kate said here, she took all the wind out of my sails.
That's hard to do, Dan. I've known you a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to what she's saying there. Going, I think I just took the back stairs out of here.
Yeah. So, questions for Dan? One comment I will make. I did have a fairly direct conversation with the Department of Corrections director and the purchaser there, and the purchaser said, look, I don't feel good about what we're doing at all. Change the law. Help me. And he said, I want to be able to buy local. The law's stopping us, too. Please help me. So, I mean, this is probably more important than many people realize. There's $15 million in one jail. I forget the number in our prison system. It's enormous. All of those dollars that stay here will help lead Oregon, particularly, out of recession or depression or whatever this is.
This is extremely important for our economy.
Thank you all. I'm going to call Larry Dyke, Peter Kanagi, and Sean Cleva.
Mr. Chair, quick comment.
Representative Wingert.
To Dan, I would hope that there ever would be any dumping, that if you have a local food pantry or a food bank somewhere, that if it's really that bad, rather than pour it down the drain or dump it somewhere, I'd at least like to see it donated to the local food bank.
Yeah, and that's a good point. He may have meant even price dumping, where you sell it to... But I'm not totally sure. I know I have a number of times. I used to do a fruit stand here in Salem, and I'd bring some fruit down that was not worth it to sell, and we had debates between my father-in-law and I about what to do with it, since it was more expensive to even have it picked than to actually give it to our co-op or drive it over to Washington, actually, in that case, because our co-op stopped taking it. These are beautiful apples, and they said it was worthless. And so I would take them to the food bank. Yeah. Well, it's our good friend Larry Dyke. He's going to be back to talk to us on other issues. But.
Good morning, Chairman Clem, committee members. My name is Larry Dyke. I live at 34203 Northwest Mountaindale Road, North Plains, Oregon. I farm in Washington County and raise blueberries and cantata blackberries. I'm a supporter of House Bill 2763. I can see where this bill could help the Oregon berry industry. This type of legislation is a positive move for Oregon agriculture. It makes sense to allow for Oregon institutions to be able to buy local commodities instead of always taking the lowest bid. When Oregon's governmental institutions buy Oregon commodities, with the monies generated, truly stay in Oregon. It creates a win-win situation with our institutions getting a quality, locally grown product, and as farmers, we're able to have another market to sell our product to. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Peter, next, please.
Chairman Clem, representative of the committee, thanks for this opportunity. I'm in support of this bill, too. I think this is basically a no-brainer.
Peter, I'm sorry. I need to have you say your name.
My name is Peter Kanegi. I am a NORPAC grower. I grow green beans and sweet corn for NORPAC and also seed crops. Like I started to say, I think this bill is a no-brainer. The one thing that I would say about it is that my suspicion is that taxpayers would be ahead even more if you changed the 5% to 7%.
That's right.
I think 5% might be a little on the low side.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I got it marked down here.
Okay, and I've got some notes. So we will chat about that. We're not moving the bill today, so I'll chat about that with committee members. Any questions for Peter or Larry? Before we move on to Sean? Sorry, I forgot to ask on that last one. Now, I'm just going to stay away from the Marion Barry issue today. We'll be back on that. Sean?
Chair Clem, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sean Cleave. I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau. The Oregon Farm Bureau is in support of this legislation. I don't want to be repetitive over some of the points that were made by members of the Oregon Farm Bureau today, except to say that we think this is a good step in the right direction. There may be some considerations that the chair might look into regarding processing that happens over the river in our neighboring state, and then shipped back to Oregon. We have a variety of commodities that do fall under that category, namely onions. The state of Oregon has a variety of policies that have driven up some agricultural costs in Oregon, namely some of our labor policies, and providing mechanisms to balance that out, I think, is a step in the right direction. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony and open up to any questions if you have any.
One comment just on the issue of what if something is transported for a while out of state. I'm trying to look at some ways to reward that, to let the agencies. Some agencies actually want that standard where they actually have a policy around the sort of carbon footprint and things. Some don't. So I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of devolve that decision, to the people, the agencies, particularly when it's their own money. It's not even state tax dollars, and it's like county general fund or something. But I am trying to work on how to change that language.
I appreciate
a little
that.
Bit. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you. You know, Sean, you should have just stopped at no-brainer. But I will say this. The good Representative Olson and I and some others have a bill that would allow our children, 16 years and older, to go back and work in the fields all day again,
yes,
like we did when we were growing up. And I think that may help along some of the lines that you were alluding to, but I'm not going to go into all that.
Oh, thank you.
Representative Krieger, or Vice Chair Krieger, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate you saying this 5% may not be enough, because you got to also take a look at the quality of the product and the fact when that money does come into Oregon, it goes around and it has a multiplier effect. And you brought up the fact that our farmers do have to pay a much higher minimum wage, and I think we need to index the 5 or 7%.
and again, I just want to clarify, too, the 5 is the standard before you then have to make the written determination that you can go over. Just, and so it could still be 7 before you have to make the written, but you wouldn't be barred from doing it all. It's just you then have to put in writing why it is that you're doing it. But sorry, Sean.
Chair Clem, Representative Schaffler, and Rep. Krieger, regarding my testimony, not to say that I was speaking specifically to minimum wage, although this body has been very, has acted with some foresight in the past regarding a tax credit to offset some of those costs, and I, the Oregon Farm Bureau does appreciate that effort.
And maybe a little estate tax love for you
have to do and some estate tax here. Love. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Representative Wingert, did you have something too?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I want to stay on this topic. I in my opinion, I think it's a good idea to start slow with something like this. Pass something that where we can kind of watch what happens and then decide how we want to handle things like ag products that move out for processing and come back. I mean, there's always the ability to begin to expand it, but I would, it would be my preference to see us start with something a little more humble, which is basically what this bill is, and just see what begins to happen in the contracting world and then make our adjustments from there. You know, I wrote you a note on this, but I tend to agree that the 5% is probably too low. I'd be much more comfortable or happy to support something as high as 10%. But in exchange for that, I think I'd prefer it to be a hard and fast cap of 10% without an ability to deviate. And again, just as an experiment, let this go for a few years and see how many contracting agencies are able to do this by local with that 10% threshold, and then we can come back and decide if we need to move beyond that in other ways. But I'm concerned with passing this bill right out of the gate and essentially having that opt-out clause, and we really would be kind of unleashing all sorts of things we may not, you know, necessarily be able to keep track of. Who knows what would happen? Again, we may get there. It may be make a lot of sense in a future session to say, you know, let them opt out for various reasons. But I just think a bit of caution in rolling out the bill and treat it more as a kind of a pilot and kind of and see how was just so we can sort of see what happens out there when we allow a little bit of a buffer and a threshold for buying local. But that's my feeling on it.
Responses from any of you on that one?
Chair Clem, again, Sean Cleave, regarding to Representative Wingard's comments, I would agree. I think these things definitely are best brought out in phases. The reason I brought up the initial comment regarding processing was just for the record that it may be something that the committee might want to address. Ultimately, I think the legislature would be best suited if a program were designed that would demonstrate some success to the citizens of Oregon, and ultimately that would encourage the viability and long-standing statutory framework. So I appreciate that response.
And obviously we're not in a work session on the bill, so I won't. Yeah, just one of my thoughts is with state agencies, you know, that might be I just have to figure out why it is that we should tell Multnomah County with their own money any percent, frankly. But if we want to ensure accountability, the paper trail for Multnomah County or to do it. But with state agencies, I sort of understand we have a much broader jurisdiction with no other accountability really than us, whereas they have county commissioners at least who, if they, you know, sign in writing why it went over some amount. Part of the pushback is, I mean, Senator Girard on another bill that's very similar, he said, boy, 7.5%, that's high. So I got to negotiate with various players because I want to have this become law and not just make it out of our committee and then just sit over there. So just for public disclosure, that's part of the issue. But we can talk about this,
well,
too.
Just as a response, yeah. On under the theory that you wouldn't place any limitations, you know, because
other than putting in writing,
because this is an elected body, you know, of county commissioners. Under that theory, we wouldn't have public contracting law at all. I think the reason we do is because we understand from about 100 years or more of experience on this subject that all sorts of unfortunate personal
relationships and double dealing and insider dealing can occur. It's at least possible, and that I think when the low bid standard is set, you essentially are setting a standard that does not allow a person to give preference based on relationships. Again, I'm comfortable with the idea behind this bill, but I think there's a good reason to have a threshold in there that's a standard that. And I think it's helpful from the public contracting side, too, because when they have a hard and fast standard, it allows them, for lack of a better way of putting it, to say no to certain pressures that might come into the public contracting arena, especially when you're talking about a lot of money.
So, again, we're not in work session, but I'm just going to make one comment, and then I'll stop, too. I assume that Multnomah County has public contracting law and rules they have to follow. This is more about, actually, I think we're on opposite sides of our normal philosophies in land use. I would say, yeah, let's have good state standards and not have counties making their own laws and have good state standards. And I think normally we may differ on that particular question. Selective argumentation on my part, I think, more than anything else. Larry.
Well, I guess I just, I want to throw water on this, but I guess if I was buying product for the schools, and we're struggling now, we don't have any money.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. And this bill comes up, and yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, we can go ahead and buy local, but hey, it's going to cost us. We don't have any money. It's going to cost us more. There's no. I mean, it's without any incentive. Why is it going to happen? I guess.
You should come back in 2 weeks on April 2nd when we are hearing a bill that would allocate $22 million to Oregon schools to buy local, because that's an incentive.
Okay.
Yeah. This bill is a May. It's a May, and it's for agencies that want to do it, and if it's tight, then, maybe they won't. Maybe they will. That's the May. Any other questions? And we've got about 4 minutes, but this is our last panel. Hi, Representative Gillian.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm on this bill, so I'm very supportive. That's a great idea. But I did want to get Sean's reaction to the other side of the street, so to speak. What do you know from your perch about other states? We want to sell to other states. Is this a pretty common practice? Do you anticipate a little pushback from states because we are in some way, I don't think this, in some way protecting ours, our products? Do you see an impediment to trade at all?
Rep. Clem, Rep. Gilliam, I probably wouldn't be qualified to answer that question. Theoretically, there may be some districts that purchase Oregon products that would border our state that might lose out, but I don't see any blowback, just thinking off the top of my head. I appreciate the question.
So there actually is a pretty good answer. There are some states, not all, but some states have reciprocity clauses. So part of the may is you got to factor in if you're going to trigger a reciprocity clause. Now, local agencies, I don't think, would have a problem. But a state agency would have to understand if they triggered a reciprocity clause, which said if your state has a in-state preference of 5%, then we automatically add 5% onto your bid to make up for it. And those do exist in a number of states. But I don't think it's an issue for local government, who is obviously one of the users of this provision. Representative Shockley.
Well, I think if you're dealing in some commodity and they're from out of state and you know that they can buy it for up to 5% more than the lowest bid, it may even make them come in with even a more competitive price.
There you go.
And say, well, let's get our bid down to 6% lower than what they can get it in the government, in the local community. So it could actually just make it more competitive. You can only get so competitive with these commodities before you're in the chair's position of taking it down to the food bank because nobody can buy it. I appreciate
that. That's the flaw with the hard and fast cap idea without having a written ability for the person to go over. Let's say it's 11.
Right.
So we'll talk about this individually with each other and come up with some amendments to deal with the fiscal and possibly state agencies versus local. But this was our first hearing. I want to thank you all for coming. I'm going to need to adjourn the first I'm going to need to carry over and we'll deal with this on Tuesday. An interesting bill. Today we're talking about how to grow farming, and we're not abolishing the fryer practice of having chickens raised and grown in Oregon, but we do have a bill to abolish the Oregon Fryer Commission. So we're not trying to harm.
You've got 3 minutes. We can do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to carry.
Do it about a minute and a half.
I'm going to carry over House Bill 2630. And with that, I'm going to adjourn our House Committee on Ag, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities. And thank all of our guests who came, particularly our growers. There's a lot here. It's National Ag Week, and a lot of them are here to visit with you all and spend some time at the Capitol.